talk is money, honey. All we talk is money. All we talk is money. It's like bees to the honey. Honey, money, honey, money, honey. It's the sauce cast, baby.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Round of applause for ladies out here. Happy International Women's Day to the ladies out here. Nat, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's
great.
My girl.
You
welcome
said Women's Day, and I just got excited.
Okay. Well, don't get too excited yet. Anyway, guys, welcome to Southcast. My name is Adam Southcast. You know the deal. Sexiest financial show in the world. But today is International Women's Day. Now, you might be saying, who gives a shit? Oh, I give a shit. These ladies give a shit.
Yeah.
We all have mothers. We all have sisters. We all have grandmas. We all, you know. The show is to bring men and women a little bit closer together. Now, we may argue. We may disagree. And that's fine. But we're bringing the men and the women together. So a round of applause for you ladies being here. And everyone, just to be clear, everyone here is a natural born woman. There's nothing. Okay, because we'll get into some of those topics today. Welcome to the show, everybody out there in YouTube land. If it's your first time being here, thank you for joining us on this momentous 2024 Women's Day. Join the Valuetainment community, join Sauzcast, sub to the channel. If you have been here watching what we do, you've seen the growth, you see what we're doing. We got a lot of action. Thank you for returning back to the Sauzcast. A couple housekeeping items, because I want everyone to be aware of what's going on. We're going to meet the panel, and then we'll get into some of these topics. So, International Women's Day, some of the topics that we're going to be discussing. Ready? The theme of International Women's Day is inspiring inclusion. We're going to have a conversation about inclusion and where do you draw the line on who's included? And okay, Amy, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll get into a couple of topics like that. Cat Williams just actually was on the Rogan podcast. He did one of the biggest podcasts in the world on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharpe recently. I think it was 50 million views, something ridiculous. He had some things to say about trans women. We'll get into some lighthearted conversations about abortion. No big deal. No one ever gets upset about that. We'll have that conversation as well. Relationships, dating, men, women, who leads, who doesn't lead. We'll have that conversation. The gender wage gap. You familiar with that? Okay. We'll get into that. And then, officially, a study has come out. Hold your breath. Here it is. Who are better drivers?
Oh.
And who's better in directions, men or women? So let's get into some of these conversations. Quick intro of who we got here on the podcast today. My friend Olivia Ormos is in the house.
Hey, everybody.
We had her on last year via Zoom. She's here live and in person. She's the founder of something called OO & Co., right?
Yep.
Creative, full-service creative agency, but something we're discussing today is you put a little event on every year for the past, how many years, Olivia?
14.
14 years. You had a quinceañera coming up next year. You had a bar mitzvah last year for model volleyball.
Yes.
The sexiest event on the planet.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to show some highlights of that. But Olivia's in the house, and we're going to be talking about model volleyball. My friend Sarah's in the house, Sarah Kiba. Lot to tell you about this girl. Should I just do it right now?
Do it right now.
So, Sarah Kiba, by the way, celebrity stylist, philanthropy, AWOM,
yep.
Angel watching over me, also The Lab,
yep.
Which is a creative agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little funny thing. I went to, is your cousin Dana?
She's my cousin's cousin.
Okay, so cousins, you know.
Yeah.
I was friends with Dana. We went to summer camp together. Then I was college roommates with your brother, mm-hmm. Brian.
No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
With, you know, all those guys, Harris, yeah. Bones, oh, David boy. Abrams, John and Drive, all those guys.
Oh, man.
And in true fashion, he was from France. So you know what his nickname was? What? Frenchie. We had no originality yeah. whatsoever.
He's still Frenchie.
He's still Frenchie. That's still it. Frenchie. There's like, how many guys have a French friend? You're like, yeah, you're Frenchie now, okay? So after college, I was the nice way, and then maybe the not so. I was a jack of all trades, but part of that, I was like a Miami fuckboy in the nightlife scene, parties, clubs. Keith Menon and I, who's been on the show here, we're doing the Sanctuary, Bodega, the Mondrian, everything we're doing. And I said, I got to get out of this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I started substitute teaching once a week at our old elementary school, wow. Straight up.
That's right.
And,
no, middle school.
Middle school, elementary and middle, they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm waking up at noon every single day of my life, hungover, partying every night. So I'm 24 years old. I said, let me do something that I can wake up a little bit early and do something with my life. And I was like, well, you know, substitute teacher, it's right down the street, Aventura, let me see what we got. So I started substituting. And every day that I'm substituting, it's a different thing. So one day I'm the PE teacher, one day I'm the art teacher. One day they're like, oh, you're teaching second grade today. I'm like, all right, cool, second grade, all right, cool, let's do it. So I'm doing this for a few months. And one day they call me in and they go, going where you're headed.
No.
Call me in and they say, hey, the teacher you've been subbing for in second grade is out sick the rest of the year.
Oh.
How would you like to take over her class for the rest of the year? I'm like, you're going to trust me
grade?
Around.
No,
not her.
No.
Take over second grade for the remainder of the year. So I did that. It was great. It was amazing. Loved the kids. This teacher comes back. I was like, all right, where do you need me now? They're like, oh, we're going to go put you in seventh grade now.
Oh. Yeah,
so I go to seventh grade,
uh-oh.
Middle school. Uh-oh. And then who's sitting in the class? Sarah Kiba. I'm like,
right.
I know you.
Yeah.
I know your brother was my roommate. Like, I'm friends with your three brothers.
I have three brothers.
So I was friends with all those guys, John and Jeremy and Brian.
That's right.
And you were my student.
Yeah.
My pupil.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
And now you're hers.
Now I'm teaching everyone out there. What do you remember about me being the teacher?
Honestly, that you were like the hottest teacher ever. And I was
yeah.
like, that's my brother's friend. He knows me. Like, you know, when you walk into class, it felt so cool. Like, he's got my back,
yeah.
You know, like I have nothing to worry about.
Sarah couldn't read, she couldn't spell. I was like, you got an A somehow. I don't know how it works.
So full of it.
Just kidding. She's always been amazing, and congrats on everything you're doing.
Thank
you put an awesome event together.
Yep. Gala.
So the other day that we were there. So shout out to the family. Anyway. And then I got out of teaching. I got a job as a cold caller in a financial firm. Boom, 17 years later, I still run that firm. I met PBD in the financial world. Mm. 2012, joined Valuetainment in 2020. Rest is history. But you know how it all started? Me being like, I can't take all these goddamn kids and making this amount of money. I got to go make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for being my inspiration. Not so much you, but some of those kids. Anyway, moving right along. Clarissa Martinez is back in the house. Wife. Mother, married to a boss dude here at Valuetainment, Leo Martinez. He's one of the sales managers,
mm-hmm.
him and Mario at Bet David Consulting.
Yep.
Crushes it.
Mm-hmm.
Sick beard, by the way.
He gets so many compliments on that beard. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I look at that guy's beard. I'm like, one of these days, man. One of these days. So you have three kids.
We do.
That's right. Alex, Michael,
And Bella. Yep.
Okay, that's awesome. And how old are they now?
16, almost 17, 14, and 13, or soon to be 13.
She got some grown-ups.
You know,
By the way, take a guess how long she's been with her husband for. Take a guess.
30 years.
30 years? How old do you think she is?
It's
20.
Yeah, so we've been married for 20, together for 23.
Okay, so you weren't far off. That's... She can give us a lot of
thank you.
Advice.
Yeah, that is amazing.
So,
beautiful.
Anyway, thank you, Leo, for allowing Clarissa to show up here. I know that, you know, he has to sign the permission slip.
We got clearance and everything.
Okay, good. And then you'll recognize these two lovely ladies to my right. Amy Dangerfield in the house. Yes, that's her last name, Amy Dangerfield. She's been officially a member of the Valuetainment team for, 6 months now? Has it been that long?
Not quite.
Almost there.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like it.
And if the last name rings a bell, you know, do you want to tell them what happened with Rodney?
It's okay. We're on a tight time schedule for this show. We'll let them tune in next week to hear about it. Yeah.
And then obviously Natalia Del Valle is here.
I am here.
Yes. Everyone needs someone like Nat in their corner.
Yes. I'm here in your corner.
That's right.
Here we go.
We're doing our thing. So this is proof, guys. You know. It's going to be a controversial statement, but I actually believe that men and women can be friends.
Good.
Friends with all you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people that men and women can't be friends. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's good to have girlfriends.
Because mm-hmm.
girlfriends, you know what girlfriends bring? What? Their friends.
Girlfriends
bring their friends.
It's true.
And then everything has fun. Speaking of their friends, Malik, can we pull up everything with Model Volleyball? So here we go, guys. Let me frame this up. And we'll knock this out real quick. So Olivia Ormos
yes.
puts together a ridiculous event in Miami Beach every year. This is the 14th year. Last year we were there, we did a lot of interviews. If you watch Shotscast, you've seen some of this. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to show some of the highlights, and then we'll go to the website, and Olivia can explain what model volleyball is all about. So if you guys like good-looking ladies, good-looking people, mm-hmm. celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed Vince Vaughn there. Mm-hmm. Travis Scott's been there. Flo Rida's been there. Give us some names that you can expect over the years that have been there.
Oh, man. I mean, those are some good ones to start with. We've seen Gronkowski show up, Travis Scott perform, Joe Jonas, Chanel Iman. I mean, the list goes on. Adriana Lima, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. Nina Agdal.
Calvin Klein one year just kind of rolled up.
Calvin Klein shows up. What's up, guys? And we're like, yeah, Calvin, come on.
Yeah, it was
Humphries.
Oh, yeah, our friend Chris.
Yes.
Jamie Foxx.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
The best of the best. So roll this video. You guys get a little taste of what's going on at Model Volleyball. This is from last year. So go to their website so we can get a feel for this. By the way, guys, mark your calendars down.
Yes.
If you're in South Florida, March 30th and 31st.
That's right. So 22 days.
22 days away, end of March, come join us at Model Volleyball. When I say us, I mean we know the models are going to be there.
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be celebrities there.
Yes.
There'll probably be a few volleyballs mm-hmm. running around, but what Valuetainment's going to be doing is we're doing a meet and greet.
Yep.
Last year, PBD was the opening coin toss.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He loved it. It was awesome. It was the police, fireman. Who was playing in that?
It was police.
It was police.
Yeah, it was the first game of the day. Police actually went against Maven, one of my teams. But this year, we have police versus fire.
Ooh.
Oh.
That, you know, we all know who we have our money on.
Gotcha. If you want to support the policeman. If you want to support the firemen, if you want to be a great philanthropist and support hot models in need of a cool towel or something like that, maybe a water, come on down to Miami Beach. March 30th through 31st mm-hmm. will be a meet and greet. We're going to do also, letting you know right now, we're doing a talent search.
Yes.
If you want to be on Valuetainment, if you're looking to create some content, if you're saying, I'm a star, mm-hmm. why doesn't anybody know me out here? Come be found at the Model Volleyball Valuetainment pop-up mm-hmm. in Miami Beach. And it's on 18th and Collins.
That's right, on the sand.
On the sand,
yes.
baby. So, you ready for it? What should we expect this year?
Well, for those who have never been, the event's free. You don't need any tickets. It's open to the public. Anyone and anyone can attend. You can come with your kids. You can come with your friends. It's really a totally inclusive environment. You'll see a ton of sponsor activations where people set up everything from rock climbing walls to zip lines to, you know, it's just every year it's different, but you'll see a ton of different things for you to do. Everything's free. Nice. No one is selling anything. Everyone's giving everything away. Two big volleyball courts, 12 teams competing in this tournament. So it's about 250 models that will be competing. It's an invitational to the agencies, so it's not like anyone just signs up to be a part of this. They collectively, strategically put together teams of co-ed male and female players, mm-hmm. and then they compete on behalf of their agency
guys,
in the tournament.
I mean, I feel like I need to sell you on this, but it's free. Yeah. Okay? You come, everything's free. The drinks, the food, the celebration.
Everything's free.
You can come, you know, if you got no game whatsoever, I mean, you can trip and fall in the sand and meet a model here in Miami Beach. I'm like, get it together, guys.
Yeah.
You're going to meet the Valuetainment crew. PBD did the opening coin toss. Yes. We're going to have all the Valuetainment talent there. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be there because we support Olivia. We love Olivia. And look,
there's DJs. There might be some surprise performances. You never know. Mm. And we do a really cool closing party at Bodega on Sunday night as well.
You know, that's someone that's been to Bodega maybe once or twice or 10 million times, I can tell you, don't miss this massive event, March 30th, 31st. Yeah, I'm excited for it. So congrats.
Me too.
Speaking of what I'm excited for, tomorrow, in less than 24 hours, we're doing a massive live event here. At Valuetainment Studios with the one and only, the two and only, Candace Owens and Chris Cuomo, okay? PBD is going to be hosting it. Nice. Candace will be there. Chris Cuomo will be here. The home team will be there. Mm-hmm. If you have not got your tickets, I think we're sold out.
Yes, we are.
But wow. Stay tuned. There might be some openings. I think we're sold out. Yep. But definitely tune in to the PBD podcast tomorrow. It's 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. PBD podcast Friday. Chris Cuomo, Candace Owens, PBD, the home team will all be there. And if you want to connect with myself, PBD, the Biz Doc, Vinny, the Tates, Terrell Owens, handful of amazing, awesome people, you can catch us on where?
Minect.
That's where you can connect by the minute. Expert advice, business leaders, thought leaders, influencers.
I hear you're killing that.
Yeah, he is actually.
Doing okay.
He's doing his thing.
Doing okay.
I see you on there.
I'm out there. Yeah. I'm out there. Let's get Olivia some Annex out here. Yeah. If you're like, dude, how do I throw?
I'm on there, but I'm not in it like you are.
How do I throw my own event with hundreds of hot models? Olivia, can you please help me out? Yeah. Maybe just one model. How can I get one model in my life? Olivia's got you. Anyway, that is what's going on. Model volleyball, mm-hmm. March 30th through 31st. Candace Owens, Chris Cuomo, Town Hall. That is tomorrow. That is March
8th.
Thank you.
Women's Day.
Women's Day. Remember? Here we go. If you like women, if you like Candace Owens. You know, last time I checked, Candace Owens is a woman. And you can catch us all on Minect. Now, let's start the show.
Let's do it.
Cool? Nat, is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's fire away.
Let's get this party started.
So we already went over some of the topics, but we'll lead off with the fact that it is International Women's Day, March 8th, and their theme this year is to inspire inclusion. So here's their tagline. So when we inspire others to understand a woman's value, inclusion, and we forge a better world. And when women themselves are inspired to be included, there's a sense of belonging, relevance, and empowerment. Now, look, I could do some mushy content right now. Tell me how it feels to be a woman. What don't people understand? People know women, unless you've not left your house since COVID, you've interacted with a woman. So that's not where we're going. Here's where I'm going with this. You know, this whole concept of inclusion. Inclusion can be a slippery slope. Where do we draw the line on being included and not being included? Who do we include? Who do we not include? So for instance, some people say, I have this conversation with women, like I say, I'm a man. They go, yeah. I go, what happens if I now identify as a woman, as of right now? There are some women will say, like, well, if you identify as a woman, then you're a woman. And I'll be like, under zero circumstances, no matter how I feel or how I identify, I am not a woman. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If I put on a wig and I put on some makeup, that does not make me a woman. You know, unless you go all the way, chop, chop, I don't think you can be a woman. I don't know.
I would go so far as to say, Adam, that even after you chop, you're not a woman, you're a mutant. just saying.
Okay. Well, we all know how Amy feels on this. She believes that all trans men are, in fact, women. We know that. That's how you feel.
I mean, listen, there are trans people I respect in the community, but they're also logical enough to be like, yeah, I know that I feel like a woman, but I know deep down I'm a whole ass man. If I was to be buried and they were to dig me up in 10,000 years and take a look at the bone structure, they would say, that is a man. I appreciate logical people. So.
Okay. Well, so do I. Well, speaking of logical people, I want you to watch this video of this woman.
Here we go.
Who got a little upset when someone misgendered her. This is clearly a woman. I don't care what you say. This is a woman. Let's roll the tape. Turn the volume up.
It's ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
This video from right here in New Mexico is going viral online. A transgender woman losing her cool when she says an employee at an Albuquerque video game store called her sir instead of ma'am. The video has been viewed more than a million times on YouTube over the last 2 weeks, and it's getting people talking. Lots of people have made fun of the woman for her outburst. Others say she did the right thing by defending her gender identity. Now only on 4, she's telling her side of the story to Kai Porter.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
It's the video seen by millions. T
Tiffany Moore, a transgender woman who recently started her transition, yelling at an employee inside this Albuquerque GameStop. Moore says the cashier repeatedly called her sir instead of the gender pronoun she identifies with while she was trying to return a game she bought for her son.
Ma'am, once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
I actually said both of you guys. It was general.
Right beforehand, you f***ing said sir.
Sir? Okay.
Take it outside, you for you. I will show you a f***ing sir.
I apologize.
I was so angry at that point.
Right. Here we go. Here she is.
He called me sir. And got
guys,
so
we turn the volume up.
I was cussing that.
The internet responding to the viral clip with memes like Superman, Aquaman, and Macho Man, Tranny Savage. Tranny is a slang term for transgender that many find offensive and derogatory.
What's really sad is it's bringing so many bigots out of woodwork.
But Moore, a local MC and rapper, isn't letting the memes get to her. She's using her newfound viral fame to raise awareness about the transgender community, and she even wrote a song to get her message out there.
We're humans just like you. We're people just like you. We have kids, we have parents, we have brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. We're just trying to live.
As for how Moore handled the situation inside the store with that expletive-filled outburst.
And yeah, I could have reacted a whole lot better. But you know what? I look back at it. If I could, I wouldn't change a single thing. I would do it 100,000 times again. I would kick over that display 100,000 times again because my actions were justified. I mean, it was blatant and malicious hate. It was blatant and malicious misgendering.
And we reached out to GameStop's corporate office for a statement. We'll let you know when we hear back.
Okay, so guys, look, you know, I don't care what any of you guys say. That's a woman, a beautiful woman. You know, most women, I'll tell you the women I'm into. I'm into when I upset them, they go, oh, really, bro? Well, take it outside. Me and you right now, outside. It's my kind of lady, guys. It's my kind of lady. Really ladylike. So, you know, as they has famously said, there's three types of genders. There's men, there's women, and then there's the mentally ill. I don't know, guys. I would love to let the ladies weigh in on this. In the spirit of inclusion, inspiring inclusion, is that person a woman? Should she be celebrated on International Women's Day? Clarissa Martinez, as a mother, I assume that you that you're the type of woman that birthed your own children?
I did birth you my did. Own children, yep.
You know?
How do you feel about the term birthing person?
Yeah. Are you a mother or a birthing person? Start with that. Yes.
I'm a mother.
Canceled.
I'm a woman.
Canceled. Unbelievable. Absolutely ridiculous. I thought you were a birthing person. Yeah. So would you consider Tiffany Moore, she used to be Tommy Moore, a woman? Yes or no?
I would not. I just think it's sad how people are attaching themselves to something for their 5 minutes of fame. Like, it was clearly an outright cry for attention. I feel like for the people who are truly transitioning, they tend to be more reserved and more private and don't cry for attention, like don't want the spotlight. Like, if it's something that sits, I mean, it's everyone's choice, but I feel like most people reserve the right to do that privately. Like, they're not trying to get their 5 minutes of fame and kind of expose something. So to me, in my opinion, I would say no.
Amy, before you run off for a sec, where do you stand on this?
Oh, do we even really need to ask? Okay. So,
but give us, you know, from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, okay. So I think that first, definitionally, what is a trans person, right? And there's a couple of different categories we could put it in. So some people say that there's actually science behind this whole thing of transness because,
Okay, Amy, I'm going to pause you for a sec because your mic isn't working. Mm-hmm. So, guys, you can talk if there's an issue like that.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Should I jump up?
No worries. Okay. Jump on up. Okay. Guys, a woman is now leaving the building. Okay. Let's get her mic to work. I'm sorry about that. If there's an issue, just screaming out loud. Sarah, I know this is not exactly your comfort zone, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you're actually a woman, a real woman.
A real woman.
What would you define this lady as?
Well, I think it's I think no, I don't consider that person a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I think that anyone like you were saying who is transitioning is actually, you know, trying to educate people in the right way of explaining, okay, this is what I'm going through, this is why I'm going through it, this is, you know, you just educating someone correctly on it. And that was clearly just like an outburst of just, I don't think that person is well. I don't think that person is well.
So, bottom line.
Not a woman.
Not a woman. Okay. Yeah. Way to take a bold stance. I know that was tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You scared
Olivia,
me.
You don't really talk politics.
I don't.
You're a businesswoman.
I don't.
You know, but you run a massive event with models. Have you dealt with this before? Like, if one of the models mm-hmm. was a man, and last year he played as a man, you saw him. You maybe saw a little too much of these volleyball games. But this year, he's going through his transition, Leah Thomas style, Dylan Mulvaney style. But now this year, he wants to play as a woman, as a business owner. It's a very successful one. Mm-hmm. How would you handle that?
So luckily, I have not been put in that position just yet. Usually it's been pretty clear cut on how the models have identified themselves, because we also try to make sure that it's not just guys out there smacking the balls and, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of crushing girls and their models. So we kind of care about their well-being on the court. I don't want them to get injured or hit their face or do anything kind of crazy. So we do have rules in place where a girl has to touch the ball before it goes back over the net.
I also have that same rule, but not. Yeah. Volleyball, that's.
No, I look.
But you have co-ed teams, I saw.
They're yeah. co-ed.
Yeah. Yeah. So you yeah. have both.
Why don't yeah. you have just the men play versus the women? Why don't you do that in your volleyball games? Why don't you do that?
Look, this is all for fun. This is for okay. show. This isn't a whole thing that people even need to worry about. I think you just show up and mm-hmm. there's beautiful people mm-hmm. and everyone's having a really great time. Yep. I don't think it's about, are you a man? Are you a woman? Look, these models do this for their own fun and exposure. Mm-hmm. So like you'll even see like their Instagrams written on their bodies because they want to be found. They want to be tagged. Mm. They want brands to discover them in a lot of this content that we're doing. So I think it's more of like a joyful vibe, a networking vibe versus anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. Model agencies, they kind of already do the pre-screening for you, essentially, with yeah. like who even is deemed as a model within their agency. So they get to pick who.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I think to, on the line of like inclusion, yeah. We are very much like self-aware that we want everyone of every body type to feel included. We have a plus size agency that's played for, you know, as many years as I can remember. Mm. We want people to feel represented. It's not just being a size zero mm-hmm. on being at model volleyball.
Well, I got something for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this isn't your comfort zone, but I mean, I got Olivia Ormos here. I'm gonna ask
a
question.
Oh my God, we'll yeah. see.
You said you got some plus size models there.
I do.
Of these plus size models, mm-hmm. what percentage of these plus size models are female plus size models versus the male plus size models?
We only have female plus
oh.
size models.
Hold on. Hold on.
Why not?
Why don't you have...
Wow. There was an agency that had plus size male models. We'd invite them.
You know what agency does that?
Which one?
The NFL. there's no such thing as male plus size models.
Mm-hmm. That's actually very interesting.
That's so
good.
Even
yeah.
the mannequins, honestly, you walk into stores like Nike and these yeah. various yeah. stores and they have plus size female mannequins. They don't have any plus size male mannequins because they
right.
know they can't panda. Yeah. If you are a fat man, like you're a fat dude in a comedy troupe, yeah. but if you're yeah. a fat woman, yeah. you're big, beautiful, and empowered, right?
right?
So that's the big difference there.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, as a
I mean, look, I even played 1 year. I jumped in on the plus size team because they had 3 girls cancel. And they looked at me and they were like, we know you know how to play. Like, will you jump in with us?
Nice.
And I said, all right, I'll play 1 game.
Okay.
Nice. And I jumped in and...
Probably killed it.
We won.
yeah!
And then the inner, like, you know, competitor in me was like nuts. And I'm looking at the scoreboard and the brackets. And I'm yeah. like, all right, if we win this game, then we can get out of the loser's brackets here and we can get in here. And ended up being such a fun day.
Such a mindset like exercise
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it was crazy that I was even able to do that. But it was just like, and then I was committed to like really wanting to see this team win.
Nice.
It was funny because some of the opposing team members would come up to the referees and be like, I don't think she should be playing. Yeah. Like, maybe you should tell her. And the ref was like, you want to go talk to her?
Yeah, you want to go talk to the founder and owner of Model Volleyball? Why she can't be playing?
Yeah, I think we came in like fifth or sixth or something out of like 12 teams. And that was
But very interesting. Good. Yeah. That's so good. Women, we love you all. Mm-hmm. Tall, short, skinny, thick, booty, no booty, titties, no titty, all the above. The male models, they're all ripped. Abs, Diesel, like, there's
the
no,
pressure,
like,
the pressure.
There's no, like, fat dude with a beard. It's like, someone say, plus-size models, bro? Like, I'm here. Sorry.
They've been working out since the last Model Listen,
guys, you know, I hear a lot of the ladies complaining about, I don't like the double standards, but this seems like a double standard. I don't know. Amy, your mic wasn't working before.
Yeah.
But let's get back to this woman and bring this thing home. That's clearly a woman. I don't care what you say. Tell me why I'm wrong.
So, if she wants to say, sorry, if he wants to say that, you know, he's a woman, then I'll grant you that you're a trans woman, okay? That's what you are. But there's a distinct difference between a woman and a trans woman. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the trans ideology, there's really three different categories. So you have the people who are generally delusional and believe that on a spiritual level, people's souls can be whatever gender they decide is fitting for how they feel, and therefore they demand that other people justify their own belief and refer to them as that gender. And that's why they believe it's transient. You could be male one day, female the next. You could be a Z-zer, they, them, you know, demon self. It's literally terrifying nowadays. Then on the other hand, you have the people who genuinely believe misguidedly that your brain chemistry can be that of the other sex, which is actually incorrect. When you look at a trans woman and you do brain scans, her brain chemistry isn't that of a female, it's actually that of a gay man. Mm-hmm. If you were to compare a gay man's brain scans to that of a trans woman's brain scans, very identical, it glows up in very similar places. So if anyone tells you it's the brain scan thing, you can dispute that very, very quickly. I believe that transness, most of the times, generally will come about from some type of trauma, at least from some of the research that I've done. I don't think that it's something that people have a genetic predisposition, they're naturally born with it. It's something that goes on in the mind. And the most self-aware trans people I've ever met are the ones who are willing to acknowledge that, admit that, because here's the thing, gender dysphoria, there isn't a cure for it. Mm-hmm. There literally isn't a cure for it aside from maybe you know, a religious cure, right? If you believe in that, if you can go that way. But so far as the mental condition of gender dysphoria, there isn't a known cure. So if they need to transition to alleviate their feelings of discomfort, depression, suicide, whatever, I get that, but you're still not a woman, you are a trans woman. So that's the way I look at it, Adam.
Malika, I just sent you a text if you can pull this thing up, but while we're doing that, I remember the first time, you know, it's like...
Have you encountered like a situation like a man dressed up like this? Like, have you encountered that while you've been out? Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's what our friend Malik is going to pull up real quick. But I'll tell you one conversation I had.
I want to see this.
I'll tell you one conversation I had, and it blew my mind because, you know, I like hanging out with the ladies. It's great. We have fun. I like getting a take. But obviously, we have men on the show. We've done a lot of red pill content. We've done relationship content, money content. I'm a guy's guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you see, like, on the weekends when we go out, you know, whether it's Dustin or it's Michael and Mark. I played college football. I'm a dude, right? I say there's three things I like to do in this world. I like to work and make money. I like to hang out with my boys. And I like to hang out with hot chicks, regular chicks. That's just kind of me. That's fine. I don't really have hobbies. I'm not collecting stamps. I'm not doing rock climbing. I'm not going to go bungee jump with you this weekend. You know, I hang out with the dudes or with some chicks. But this one time I got this conversation and this lady kept, she's like, that's because you're a cis man. And what you don't understand as a cis man is that the cis man, and I remember I was like, she just wouldn't let me get a word in. And I remember saying, I said, what the f-? And she called me a sissy. Is that, like, you want to go? I never heard this term. There's a lot of men watching this right now. They're probably like me. They're like,
yikes.
What the hell's a cis man?
Yeah.
And what is a cis man, Amy?
Oh, man. Wait.
Hold on. Amy, what's a cis man?
A cis man, I mean, it's a disgrace of a definition, but it is a man who's born a man who identifies as a man. It's just a fucking man.
Now, what is a cis woman?
So where does cis come from, cis?
Well, it's because trans people, they feel like they're transgender, right? And at this point, they don't want to be accepted. They don't just want to be accepted, they want to be celebrated. They want to be on a level up. And so they want to give us our own special name as well, our own special category. So it didn't come from anywhere rooted in science. It didn't come from any logical person. That's the trans ideology definition just for a normal fucking person.
Yeah, it blew my mind. I was like, this lady wants trying to fight me. She's calling me a sissy. Like, we'll go, lady. It just turns out that a cis man is a man. And there's a lot of dudes out there that are like, what the hell is this terminology all about? Yeah. One time I went to go book a flight and I hit the drop down box and I don't remember what airline. And I, you know, it's either male or female. Mm-hmm. Dude, there was like 75 different options that I can pick from. This turn, I was in Europe at the time.
Oh.
And it was like, man, woman, man child. I was like, yeah, maybe. cis man, cis this, trans this, trans. I was like, how many different, what is going on here?
What am I?
So I just went with woman.
There you go.
Because I can do whatever the hell I want. Anyway, you asked if I had any encounters.
Yes.
Amy, do you remember this encounter that you had with this woman right here? You can play this right. Let me fast forward a little bit to see when Amy and our friend Vinny, and let's turn this volume up.
Wait. Oh, no.
Hey,
baby.
Hey, how
you
doing?
Careful.
Oh, God.
Don't.
Hi.
Would you do me a favor? Let's let the ladies weigh in who've been here the whole show, and then I'm going to give you the final word. Is that fair?
Yeah, but do me one favor, though. Nat. She kept saying, him, dude, and guy. I'm a woman, so be respectful. Nat.
Even your D voice was a male voice.
I hate bitches like this. I hate them.
What are your thoughts? So, would you be comfortable with a person like this in the bathroom? Like, I don't understand.
Can you go to the point where Amy and him get into it? It's probably towards the beginning a little bit.
Oh, no.
Transitioning into society.
Here you go. Here's Amy. Here's how Amy feels about trans.
So, you're saying passing
women
is acceptable, but not.
Well, here's the thing, because at the end of the day, if
Blair
White...
Sounds like
you want
people to make you feel less.
I guess you guys don't know what's going on.
Here's the thing. This is transphobia. No, it's not. Trans people, back in the day, used to have a goal of actually transitioning into society versus being like, here I am and fuck what anybody else has to say. That used to be the goal of trans people. And most transsexuals, not trans people, but transsexuals will admit that they would never walk into the opposite bathroom unless they actually pass. It comes
Amy,
down to secondary...
let me ask you a question. And Listen, I'm going to host this show. We've got like 10 minutes.
You hear that thunder, though? That's is God this, pissed off. Listen, he turned this one. I can go to one of the
listen, the only person that's going to speak is me, and if I call on you, you can speak. Now, if you start speaking out of turn, I'm going to kick you off the show. Everyone. So, ladies... I'm going to ask, don't make me ask you again, please. Let me host the show. I would like the ladies' opinion here. Pixie, would you be comfortable with someone like this in your bathroom? Like,
Personally,
yes.
I do not give a fuck about who's in my bathroom.
Anyway, go to the end now. Just see how this situation ended.
Okay, if you're exactly. Listen. So why are you treating it like a fucking joke?
You're doing it. Pixie.
The ladies got to do it.
I guess here's my ultimate point. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know how this works. Have you...
No, Adam. No, I haven't. Because I'm not fully there yet. It's a decision. So when I'm with a dude, I hook up with a dude.
Because I see your package.
Yeah, dude. And do you have a problem? Get the fuck up. Yo.
Look, sometimes behind a woman... with a wig. It's just a dude with some gray hair. I'm just telling what I'm saying right there. Cat Williams. Dave Chappelle called out the trans community. He got into it a little bit.
Right.
And Cat Williams was just on Rogan. He had something to say here on this. Let's see if we can play this clip real quick.
I like that. Look at it from a different way. Look at it. Show me one person that ever wore a dress in Hollywood unsuccessfully.
1.25.
That's how you understand what a ritual is. Mm. So 20 years ago, I knew that transgenders was going to be a thing. It wasn't because I was a prophet. It's just I had gotten so much information that I understood that things are secular. So I understood that the earliest I had seen that word transgender was Baphomet, the transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that in the ritual of Baphomet, the transgender, to show allegiance to him, you had to kiss his ass ring.
Really?
And it said both of those things. So I knew that both of those things would become popular in the future, and that somehow calling people the goat would be normalized over the sheep being always the most popular reference.
God damn, we got some good weed, Kat. Jeez.
So Kat Williams has been talking about this, and look, I don't think, you know, there's something called transphobia. A phobia is when you're scared of something. Nobody I know is transphobic. Nobody's scared of trans people. But there are a lot of people that are scared that we're losing our mind. Yeah. And that there's just this lack of common sense. And if you're like, yeah, I don't know if that woman is actually a woman, you're a bigot. You're transphobic. You're racist. It's like, no, just kind of normal.
Yeah.
You know, the problem I have is everyone wants to live my truth. I'm just living my truth. I don't know about you, this is my truth. The problem with my truth is it's not the truth. And that's where a lot of this slippery slope goes down, is people want to live their truth. I got to give a shout out to my grandpa real quick. Can we play that clip? My grandpa, you know, World War II, this guy's been around forever. He's doing his thing. He had a little encounter with a trans woman, and he wasn't pulling any punches. He wanted to give this nice woman a piece of his mind, and let's play this.
Well, I'm telling you, as a man, that's bullshit. It's total bullshit.
They have to tolerate that shit.
You are fucking nuts.
Let's wake you up.
You are nuts. You're not a woman. You don't look like a woman. You don't act like a woman.
Really?
You're fucked in the head. What's wrong with you?
You are fucked in the head. You're
an embarrassment to the community.
Look at yourself, for Christ's sakes.
Really?
For Christ's sakes, who would want to even be close? My God.
Really?
It's horrible. You are not a fucking chick. How do you fucking live with yourself?
How do you think there's one person that really thinks that you're a chick?
I know a lot of people that agree with me and that accept me for who I am.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Why are you doing this?
Why? Because this is who I am, sir.
Oh, fuck that shit.
This is who I am.
Fuck that shit.
You can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with it.
I'm back on you on that. What? I think more people are maybe low-key transphobic to the one that we just saw online. Like, if I saw that out in public, I would be scared to approach them. Absolutely. I would be a little bit more hesitant. Mm-hmm. Now, would I say I feel that way towards everybody making that transition? No. Mm-hmm. But there are some of them out there that I'm scared of. I told you I had that encounter with someone like that in the bathroom. You know, they thought I stole their phone, and he looked like he was about to sock me. He had a beard on.
Gosh,
I'm like,
really?
I'm like, I think it's a little too much. And so if you ask me, like, am I scared of, like, those type of reactions? Absolutely. So I think people even have that fear. They wouldn't say it's a phobia per se, but when you have encounters like that and they're representing a certain community, you can't help but say, yeah, I'm a little scared of, you know, that type of reaction, you know? There's levels to it, like Amy shared. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think even being open about being a little fearful of it, because that also allows that community to know, hey guys, you know, it's coming a little bit too far. You know, this community is, you're now scaring people. I know you want to be accepted, but now you're scaring us. So I think even just people also acknowledging, like, this is a scary thing that's happening. And it's sad because, you know, there's people who do transition and they want to be undercover and they want to be accepted. So you have that representing them and they even feel ashamed. And it's like, how do you accept? You know, they really feel unaccepted at that point.
Yeah.
So,
I'll end it here. And before we move to the next topic, here's what I'll tell you. Most guys I know, they're, you know, the thing, a lot of what you hear about men and women is that men are more disagreeable. We're just like, nah, bro, I don't play that shit, bro. Where women are like, no, it's just, you know, it's let's accept each other. Come on.
We're nurturers.
It's being nice. You're nurturing. That's great. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit more agreeable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have five women, cis women, who are like, at the end of the day, yeah, that's not a woman. So the theme of inspiring inclusion, again, slippery slope here. So thank you for disagreeing with me, all you ladies, that that is in fact a woman. Because I don't care what you guys say. That man is a woman. I don't care
that
what you
man
say.
Is
that man is a woman. Yes. That man beautiful. Is a woman. Okay, moving on to the next topic right here. Malik, thank you for being on the ball. Next topic. Look, this is a conversation that people love having. It's lighthearted. It's not controversial whatsoever. And of course, I'm talking about abortions. Oh. When have you ever seen people argue about abortions? When have you ever seen fighting? But it's a lighthearted topic. Obviously, I kid here, but I'm going to say something actually super controversial. I don't care what you guys say. All right, I don't know how to say this. Men can't have babies.
What?
Yeah. They can't do it. No. You're, as a birthing person, yourself.
Mother.
As a mother. Yeah. Is that the term these days?
Yeah, there we go.
That's what they're known as these days? Because growing up, these were always known as birthing people. Okay. As a mother.
What do you have today?
PBD's in the house. Come on, PBD. Okay.
Come, yes, come. That's guys, heavenly.
Speaking of birthing people.
What's going on?
Hello.
PBD, I just, hello. You remember Olivia?
Yes.
Sarah.
Hi.
You know Clarissa? She's married to our friend Leo. PBD, yes. I just want to get your take on this.
Tell us.
Can men have babies?
Can men have babies?
Yes.
Absolutely not. Is this like a trick question?
I disagree with you on this, man.
Really?
I know tons of men that are having babies these days.
Well, your friends. My friends not. My friends are not having babies. No. Anyways, that was easy.
Thank you for being here. That was a layup question. Thank you, PBD.
Love this setup.
Me
thank
too.
You. Well, listen, guys. I don't know who that guy is. I think he just strolled in off the street.
That's a man. CEO, father, yes.
He's a cis man.
He's a real man.
He's a cis man.
A real man, yes.
Well, shout out to that cis man. I've never seen him before in my life, but he seems like a great guy, and thank him for popping in on the podcast. But, again, as I was saying, you know, only women can have babies.
Yes.
And there's a lot of conversations, arguments, especially these days, election season, on the abortion. Yes. And in 2022, there was the midterm elections, and there was supposed to be a red wave. Now, if you don't follow politics, a red wave is like, oh, you know, Joe Biden's in the office, all right, all the, you know, the Republicans are going to come in, they're going to show him, no, we're not playing this game, all right. Mm-hmm. And right before the election, right before that, there was something called the Dobbs decision, where they reversed the law of the land of the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade, which is the law of the land since 1973. They reversed that. They turned it over to the states. And the red wave turned into a red teardrop because it did nothing. And what we basically realized as a country is, yeah, these women aren't playing with telling them what they can do or can't do with their body. Women aren't playing this game, okay? And the Democrats, you know, have sort of done better at weathering the abortion stance than Republicans. I don't think that's a controversial stance. But I want you to get your guys' thoughts on this. Now, France has now officially become the world's first country to enshrine abortion rights into their constitution. So abortion, officially legal in France. I think it was legal. France legalized abortion in 1975. The new amendment states that abortion is now a guaranteed right in France. The French parliament voted 780-72 in favor of the amendment. There was one dissenter, not necessarily in France, but the Catholic Church weighed in, and they were one of the major groups that said, yeah, they opposed this amendment. We know how the Catholic Church feels about that. But which brings us back to America. By the way, has anyone ever been to France here?
Yes.
I'm from Paris.
Okay.
It's probably right. The only thing I'm proud of France right now is that.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Well, comment allez-vous? Okay. That's all I got. Okay. So, a lot of change since 1973 in America. Let's focus on America because we are here in America. Roe versus Wade was overturned. See if you can pull up the map of the United States of what states have legalized abortion or banned it. I don't know if you can it go? Okay. So states can, like if you scroll down a little bit, I think it says, certain states are, here we go. Does it say what states have banned them, what states haven't? What is the red? I guess just give me the different colors.
red,
okay.
The red is
hostile. The dark red is illegal. Yeah. Orange is not protected. Yellow is protected.
Okay.
And then expanded access is the blue.
Okay, so the states that basically are like, look, do your abortion thing are obviously the blue. Left coast.
Yes.
California, Washington, Oregon over there. You got Minnesota up top. That's the hat. Mm-hmm. Then you have Illinois. You got New York over there. If I ask Nat to
pick out any of the states, don't ask me. Don't ask me what state.
Do this. Go back up to the colors. What are the yellow states?
Protected.
Yellow
is protected. So Florida.
Yeah. What is? Okay. Those are the protected. Mm-hmm. So that's Nevada. Yeah. Is that Montana?
Montana
you got
top.
Colorado over there. Mm-hmm. You got Maine. You got Florida down here.
There you go.
I know the states.
Yeah.
I got Michigan. Look, I got the states. You got Alaska. This is my thing.
Not me.
Malik, scroll up a little bit so I can see the different colors of the... Okay. Then you get not protected in orange.
Mm-hmm.
Nat, for $1 million, what's the bottom left state in orange? For $1 million.
The bottom left? Oof. Move the mouse.
Nope. $1 million now.
$1 million.
Yeah.
You got $1 million?
Come on.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
If she looks at her phone, it's over. I'll give you a hint. The country right below it is the old version of it.
Yeah. I know what it is.
The old
me
version.
Too.
No, guys.
I want $1 million.
Me too.
Nat, the country below that in orange is the old version. If anyone helps her out, they lose $1 million.
Oh, my God.
It's the old version of that one.
The old version.
Three.
New Mexico.
Two. Yes. One. Oh, New Mexico.
Just like a
gift. What country is below the United States?
Wow. I already know what I'm putting my million with.
Go up a little bit.
You are a bill.
You guys cheated. You guys cheated. Hostile. What is the hostile states? You got
North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. Mm-hmm. You've got Arizona, Utah, a handful of states over there. And what states are completely illegal to have an abortion in the United States?
Ooh,
wow. You got the Bible crazy. Belt, yo. Yeah. You got the Bible
but
Belt. You got
after,
Alabama.
It's after a certain period, correct?
Mm. After a certain period.
No, illegal completely.
Yeah,
okay.
The ones that are not protected are the ones that there's a...
So there's a controversy here. So here's what I want to get your opinion on, ladies. We saw what France just did. In the United States, we have 50 states. That's the beautiful thing about the United States and capitalism. The foundation of capitalism is the freedom to choose. You got options. Right. Mm-hmm. Yo, if you're out there in Mississippi, you know, dude, I'm moving to fucking New York. All right, do your thing, ladies, because this is important to ladies.
Right.
Men don't really wake up every day and be like, my body, my choice. It's like, because despite popular demand, us dudes aren't having the kids. It's you ladies, okay? So I want to get your thoughts. Let me get your thoughts on what should be legal, what shouldn't be legal, before I give you the actual stats and details. Sarah, where do you stand on this abortion issue?
I think I'm pro-choice. You should be able to choose whatever, you know, you want, need to do, and it depends on the circumstances. I don't think that at 8 months you should say, okay, I don't want this baby anymore. I think there definitely should be a time limit. Mm-hmm. That's
okay. So we're getting somewhere. What's the time limit?
I don't know.
Is it 6 weeks? Is it 10 weeks? Is it 15 weeks? Is it 40 weeks?
I think it's different for everyone. Honestly, I'm not like, you know those moms that come up to you like, oh, they're 23 weeks. I'm like, how long is that?
Yeah. You're like, I gotta divide the two, carry the
You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I think like I'd have to dig deeper, but you know, on a personal level, I think it's like, can you provide for this child under what circumstances? And is it like, if you missed your period, you should know you missed your period after 4 weeks. Like, you should be on a, you know, like,
is
you
should know. Do you guys all win?
Yeah, like, there's warning signs. There's a warning sign. Don't tell me at like 15 weeks that, oh, I didn't know I was pregnant. So that's like 3 months of missing
your period. I actually learned something recently. This was pretty, I learned. This is me kind of controversial as well, but men don't menstruate. We don't have periods.
So
I know that in certain countries, Canada and certain places, they're putting tampons in boys' bathrooms.
No,
I don't know.
Not.
You know,
yes, they are.
Yeah. That's a thing,
man.
Of
course. And the boys, where?
To what?
In their nose?
In the boys? Exactly.
That's what I said. I was like,
if you're a 12-year-old boy and you go into a boys' bathroom, there's a tampon, you're like, oh, you're going to throw it at each other. You're going to put it up, you know, like, you know what's going on here.
But why are they doing that?
Thank you, Sarah. That's the question everyone wants to know. So, but you asked an important question.
Going in the men's bathroom.
But they're not getting their periods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there is a woman who identifies as a man, she's able to use that bathroom, but what if she's bleeding still? Yeah.
So
therefore, when she goes into the men's bathroom, they need to be able to compensate for her.
For the women that are transitioning.
It's the trans men that they're compensating for.
So you're making the vast majority of children, adolescents,
so confused,
sort of be exposed to whatever this lunacy is to help the one or two trans people.
Individuals.
Maybe they just give a separate bathroom. They don't put this into the boys'
bring
bathroom.
Bring your tampon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why? Yeah.
Come on.
I carry a tampon everywhere I go.
Yeah. Always.
Why do I need it in the boys' bathroom?
What's that movie where they use a tampon as for nosebleeds? The soccer movie?
She's the man. Olivia, where do you stand on this? Like, at certain point, pro-choice, pro-life, how many weeks? What have you thought about this?
I've always been pro-choice. I probably always will be pro-choice. I think there's a lot of circumstances that come into play that I think maybe some of that map... just they feel so strongly on one side or the other. But, you know, I think the health of the mother is something that people sometimes overlook. Like, if there's something wrong and she's now at risk, like, she should be able to make that decision potentially.
Okay.
I think that in, you know, circumstances of rape and things of that nature, like, you got to be able to be flexible. But I do agree with Sarah. Like, there has to be a point where you kind of, you know, look at life itself and say, like, hey, is this really necessary for me to abort at 8 months, or I can give this beautiful baby up for adoption to a family that really is dying to be parents. So I'm pro-adoption and pro-choice.
Okay. Clarissa, you're a mother. You have three kids. You're the old school type of mother, not a birthing person. Where do you stand on this abortion issue?
I am pro-choice to a very conservative degree. So with the weeks, I would say some of those states, I was doing a little research on this because I honestly had no clue on how deep this issue went in, like, periods of gestation. And, like, some of those states are very flexible. Like, it seems almost inhumane to go full term with, like, 20, 24 weeks. You're 75% of the way there to have an abortion at that point in time.
And it's legal?
And it's legal, which
many blue
was unfathomable to me. Like, I just, it doesn't make any sense, but that's just my opinion. So I'm pro-choice within that time frame. Yeah. I feel that one has a responsibility to track your cycle to know how far along you are. Like, if you're going to be having sex, then you should be like, you should have accountability as to, like, how far along you would be. So I would say anything past 10 to 12 weeks, even, like, because I've carried three pregnancies to term, 12 weeks is usually that moment in which you announce and let the world know, because anything before 12 weeks, sometimes your body decides that that's not what was gonna.
So you, if you can put a number on it, actually that's what I kind of want to get from you guys, because I'm gonna give you the stats, but I want to give it to you first. If you can put a weeks as pro,
I would say 12 weeks, which I mean is actually like
10 to 12, and that's giving
that's like
space.
Almost 3 months.
Yeah, it's almost 3 months.
Right? 3 months.
I mean, and that's.
There's a heartbeat by 3 months.
Yeah, I think eight weeks is heartbeat.
What if you can give a weeks to it?
I really wouldn't give a weeks to it.
Nothing?
No.
It also depends on the circumstances.
I there's too many circumstances to give a firm number.
Amy, I know you probably have a different opinion on this. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, it just all sounds so, like, fluffy and whimsical, and it all sounds like justification to make yourself feel better about something that is obviously murder. And everyone has this, like, magical week. Oh, it'd be fine if it was this amount of weeks, or be fine under this circumstances. But to me, there's nothing can justify the fact that it is still murder. It's still murder for life. And to quote Lauren Pedriner, I think, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. As soon as something happens and life intersect to create something new, that is the conception point. That is sentience. That is life. And anything to get in the way of that is murder,
so,
in
Amy,
my personal opinion. But I think the joy on this is that that's your choice. Right. And, like, I would support you on that, too, right?
Yes.
Like, so I think, like, I have a broad respect for that opinion, because that's...
Yeah,
that's,
me too.
That's every way somebody could feel.
Yeah, because you don't see it as murder. So, of course, why would you have a bad opinion on someone else having a contrary opinion? But for somebody who's pro-choice, if they actually see it as murder, even if I like you ladies and think you're wonderful in every single other way, if I genuinely hold that opinion, then I'm going to feel a way about you saying that, because that just comes down to my fundamental beliefs about human life.
Being pro-life... Where do you draw the line? What exceptions would you allow?
So, okay, so this is actually really interesting. I forget the name of the content creator. I think it's like Ali something, not Ali Drummond, a different girl. I believe her name is Ali. But so she put out a video where she actually talked about this case where a woman really wanted to get an abortion because they found that the baby was going to be born with deformities, and where she was living, they weren't actually able to facilitate that. They said, you need to carry it to term, et cetera, et cetera. They were willing to pull her out of the state and do these various things, but basically she had to go through with it. And when I started watching the video, I was still kind of a little bit of the opinion that, like, okay, so if there's going to be extreme mental disabilities, if there is going to be an incidence where maybe, you know, I definitely don't think financial should ever be considered. Do you know the amount of people who started at nothing and made it to something in this life? Imagine had their life been taken. I actually grew up in a very traditional Hungarian family, 100% Hungarian on my grandparents' side. My mom got pregnant out of wedlock. My grandparents wanted me to be aborted. Like, thank God that I'm literally still here today. So I don't think tradition, or I don't think that financial should ever determine that. Health was something where I was like, maybe. But the way this woman explained it in this video was so incredible, where she was like, listen, there is no such thing as a wishy-washy pro-life. You're either pro-life or not. That is a baby, and that baby deserves, if it's going to die with dignity and respect in the arms of its mother. And I literally started bawling my eyes out. Like, I felt that. That is still a sentient life, and they still deserve that dignity and respect. Amen. So I'd say I'm pro-life 100% of the way. Then, under
here's where I have to give you some pushback here. Okay, so I think you have to make some exceptions. You have to. Life of the mother, rape, incest. You expect a woman who was raped by her uncle to, or the father, or
to
the brother,
carry it to term,
insane, to have that baby? Like, how do you justify that?
It's a really slippery slope. Rape, I would still say, personally, I still feel like, how can you weigh one sin over the other? One is rape. The other one is murder. Like, here's the thing. It depends on whether you see it as murder. I see that as murder of a life, regardless. So it's like, what pedestal are we going to put that on? You may be able to justify that logically because it must not mean in your heart you believe that abortion is murder. When you genuinely believe that, there isn't any circumstance. It would be like saying, okay, Adam, would you rather this person be raped or I slit this person's throat? If they were right in front of you, you can literally see it happen, and you needed to be the judge and jury of that decision, would you be able to make that choice? Mm-hmm. So yeah, people who genuinely believe that abortion is murder, they're not going to waver on that.
Do you think your decision would change if you were in that situation?
And here's the thing. You can always talk like ideologically, but you never truly know until you're actually in that circumstance. Exactly. So maybe I'm a hypocrite, and maybe I'm a maybe if I found myself in their situation, then maybe my emotions would get the better of me and it would change. And, you know, that's why I would never hate somebody for it, but I would condemn their choice, you know. And until I'm actually in that position, I wouldn't know. I can only go off my moral basis and foundation and how I deeply feel about it right now as you're asking me the question.
Now, is this a religious reasoning, or is this more of a moral reasoning?
Moralistic and religious. Okay. Absolutely, 100%. I'm definitely a Christian. I'm definitely, you know, so very much plays into it. But for me, it's very much moralistic.
Okay,
as well.
I'm going to give you some stats in a second. But Nat, where do you stand on this issue?
So believe it or not, you know, I grew up in a Catholic household. You know, I went to church, and, you know, I'm a, you know, pro-life. You know, I grew up knowing that, like, you know, if you're pregnant, you have your baby, and, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, God, this is the situation. And so growing up with kind of that mindset is kind of also like a warning sign, even with how I navigate in the world. It's like, okay, Natalia, you know, if you make certain decisions, right, if this is going to happen, you know, you've been raised that this is the baby that you're going to have. So I'm pro, you know, life, because that's what I grew up as. Now, I can't say if I was raped by my uncle or I got pregnant, you know, in a disastrous experience that I wouldn't maybe consider it. You know, as a woman and in real world situations, you consider all your options when they're provided to you when you're in those terrible situations. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I like to make sure that I keep to my morals and what I grew up as, because at the end of the day, that's what you should do. It is murder. You know, you are killing a life no matter what amount of weeks it is. Mm-hmm. And situations are very, very sad to even see some of the women even go through when they have these
kids out of, you know, rape and these disaster situations. Mm-hmm. But you never really know what the kid's life really is going to look like. And that's mm-hmm. essentially when everyone's born. You never really know. You could be raised in a rich household and you grow up as a crackhead on the street.
So true.
So you really never know. But I like mm-hmm. to tell myself, Natalia, you are pro-life. You know, live your life in that mindset so you don't make, you know, decisions to end up where you kind of go against how you were raised. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I've had close friends have abortions and I was their friend to comfort them. I was their friend to, it's okay, you know, when they came out and it was that, it's a process. I don't know if you've experienced that, you've seen someone have an abortion, like it's a mental process, it's a physical process. Like when they have nobody, what am I supposed to do? You know, just leave my brother and sister and let, you know, God
says
protect her. So you're
correct, you know?
Yes.
In that way too.
Yes, you know, God, everyone's brother and sister, so I'm not gonna leave you and let you suffer. I'm gonna help you. And then hopefully as you go through this together, you kind of, your mindset gets a little bit more strong in decisions.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, look, this is the reason that we have these types of discussions. Not any one of you had the exact same answer. This is important. But I think that, you know, these are the conversations that need to be had. These are the conversations that are going to be had during the election, no doubt. DeSantis came out in Florida, gave a six-week ban. 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Trump, he's come out with anything official, but he's leaning towards 16 weeks. Okay, so that's what's going on. We'll see what happens, where his platform is, assuming that he is going to be the candidate. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Amy, I want to get your opinion on this story right here, because we talked about the slippery slope. Okay, if for financial reasons, hell no. Right? Like, if you're having sex with your boyfriend, hell no. All right, rape, incest, life of the mother, what? Like, life of the mother, I mean, right. I assume you got to save the mother's life. Mm-hmm. Like, you're willing to give an abortion for that. Mm-hmm. The slippery slope is going out. Then you have this breaking news over here, this IVF treatment. You familiar with how IVF works? Mm-hmm. So Alabama is a state that basically has been going back and forth on what they're doing with these IVFs. So the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos as legally protected children. Mm-hmm. Other states' legislators have followed suits. They came back and they basically said that the governor has granted immunity for IVF patients. You know, a frozen embryo is what? When the eggs...
So that's just from the woman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not mixed with... It's mm-hmm. like technically not a life until the two are mixed together.
Right.
I mean, in my personal opinion, like, maybe I don't fully understand the story, but I've heard that there's a lot of, legal implications that come with this as well. It affects a lot of other legislation.
Well, why else would you do something like that? Why would you take a woman's eggs if you're not planning to...
Yeah.
Put it together with.
So what are they saying though? Like if the woman like dies and she's not able to use them.
So Alabama legislators passed a bill granting criminal immunity to patients and clinics. That's the whole thing, is clinics as well, if embryos are destroyed during the medical procedure. So
like malpractice for embryos.
Right. So clinics closed down while this ruling was being sort of argued about. But here's the catch. IVF clinics routinely discard unviable and leftover embryos. So it's just the unused embryo out there. And many clinics pause what they were doing for fear of maybe being charged with murder. So it's a slippery slope here. How far you go down the rabbit hole of this? And if look, as someone, I'll just tell a quick story. Mm-hmm. I unbeknownst had an abortion one time. Didn't even know. Straight up, I was dating a girl, and it was sort of long distance. She was in school. I had just graduated. We were, you know, going back and forth, Florida State, and we were seeing each other, not seeing each other, and she would come back down to Miami, and we were obviously, you know, doing our thing, and then she just kind of ghosted me. Like, and I heard, yeah, ghost me. Can you believe that? Ghost styles, what? That's so... I find out she's in town. I'm like, I hit her up. I was like, why are you in town? Like, mm-hmm. usually come to town, you stay with me. What's going on here? And this is how it went. She's like, well, you know. I was like, I know. I know what? I've dealt with some crazy girls before. This wasn't crazy. I was like, well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you know. I was like, I don't know anything, what you're saying. She's like, look, I got an A. And I was like, oh, you got an A in school? Congratulations. My girl, smart girl, got an A in class. No, the other A. I was like, what the? The fuck is an A?
Yeah.
Right? She's like, I got an abortion. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I had no idea. So I'm finding out after the fact, I had no say whatsoever. You know, I could have a 15-year-old kid right now. No clue.
What?
Zero. Can you imagine all those songs running around?
I have a friend that happened.
Yeah, and as the guy, you have, what say does the guy have in an abortion? Mm. Now, she got the abortion. I was like, for me, like, I took a step back and I was like, fuck. Like, could have had a kid. Like, whoa. But then I was like, so they don't even need to consult with the guy. Like, what role does the father have here?
Right.
That's a whole nother conversation there, but it's very interesting. But it was weird. But then she literally sent me a invoice for what the abortion cost. Yeah. I was like, so now I'm paying for this thing? The guys, you know, as much as the women carry the baby, it's a very uncomfortable situation. And I'll tell you one more thing. If you ever seen these pictures of what they do with the babies,
it's,
you know,
terrible.
10 weeks, 20 weeks,
it's awful.
It fucks you up, man. Yeah. I'm telling you.
There are a lot of guys who get really messed up over that. You know what? And you know what's crazy? I could argue that men are more valuable to the baby making process than women. You know why?
You have an island. Say hypothetically, you have an island, right? And there are 50 men on that island and only one woman, right? There's only going to be one person who's able to be born from all of that. You reverse it, okay? There's, you know, multiple women and
there's
only one man. There's
one, guy.
One man. You can repopulate
you're gonna have 50
that
babies.
Entire fucking island. Yeah. So you could say, or just a balance of numbers.
By the way, if you know an island where there's 50 women and looking for one man.
I was going to say.
Sign me up. But, you know, they have this. Alejandro over there is raising his hand. But, you know, they say, this is going to be a little controversial as well. Who is more important climaxing during sex, the man or the woman, right? You always hear, like, you know, women, they're like, unless I get my little thing, like, you know, I don't want no 1 minute man. You know, you've heard these things. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you right now, you know, if the man doesn't ejaculate, life ceases to exist. If the woman doesn't ejaculate, then she's just going to make some rap song calling you, I don't want no 1 minute man. Whatever. Just saying, men, I think you're right. Key to life. Anyway.
But you need both.
Happy International Men's
both,
Day, guys.
Though. You need, you know what the commonality is, though? You need both to do anything.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, you can say, oh, men are, well, that's what men have a specific role
I'm
to do.
I'm being a bit cheeky. I was joking.
I know.
I was a jerk.
No, I know you're joking, saying, but if you have the name of this island, I would like to.
Okay, I'll do some research.
And you know what, by the way, if two men try to have a baby.
What happens?
Together. You know what that's called? Sword fighting. They're just never gonna work. Anyway, here's some stats for you on abortion. Amy, I don't want to get you upset here, but since the Roe vs. Wade Dobbs decision, 62% of adults think that abortion should be legal. 62%. 36% say it should be illegal. So two-thirds of people are on the pro-life side, one-third. I'm sorry, two-thirds on the pro-choice side, one-third on the pro-life side. I get it. 60% of women who have an abortion are having one for the first time. 60% of, well, this is interesting, 60% of abortion patients are already mothers. Mm-hmm. So two out of three patients are already mothers, and half of them have two or more children already. Mm-hmm. So they're already a mother, like a Clarissa, who has two, three kids, and they're like, I can't. I love my kids, but I'm going to kill one of them anyway. So, like, it's interesting. Just, you know, food for thought right there. 43% of abortions occur in the first 6 weeks. 9%, and I'm sorry, 43% in the first 6 weeks and 92% in the first 13 weeks. 92% are in the first trimester. I think we have that stat. I don't know if you have that. 50% of abortion patients are single. So meaning that's sort of hookup culture, one and done, boom, boom, boom. 33% are living with a partner and 14% are married. So married women overwhelmingly are not having abortions.
Makes sense.
It's really single women. And shocker alert, the states with the highest share of women obtaining abortions are in blue states. Mm-hmm. Food for thought out there. Weigh in below, guys, on where you think we should stand on all this. Okay, moving right along. We got about 20 minutes left, so I want to fire through a couple topics right now. I want to show you this video of this lady. Her name is Emily Saves America. Mm. Here it is right here. Now, if we can enlarge that and make sure the audio is working, that'll be great. Now, ladies, you know, if a guy says something like this, we get in trouble. Because I've said something like this, quoted this stat. Chelsea Handler sees it. She does a reaction video. She says I'm this fake thing. I call her out. Me and Chelsea Handler, my ex, we're going back and forth online. But, you know, that's Chelsea. But I want to get your lady's opinion on when a woman says the following. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So a girl made a video about this on TikTok, and it's put in the most simple terms. I would say every girl I know right now wants a man who is masculine and a leader. And obviously that comes with like asserting dominance and all these things. And all these women want this, but then no women want to listen. They don't want to listen to the leader. So they want the leader, but then they're not going to listen. And it's so funny because it really comes down to like not listening to them is not only extremely demasculating to them, it's like, so why would they want to be with you? They would go be with a woman who's more feminine and like willing to listen. This is not like, I'm not talking about controlling crazy guys. I'm talking about this is what a strong man in his masculine is. So it's like when you're, you know, doing the whole feminine, you know, new wave feminism, girl boss, I don't listen to anyone, then that's okay. There's a reason why the statistics are saying that all you guys are going to be single and unmarried in the next like 20 years is because you're not listening.
Okay, ladies, the whole who's the leader in a relationship, that's an obvious question. We can go from there. But you have that Jordan Peterson clip. Let me give a look. You don't have the Jordan Peterson with Michaela when they did their interview. See, you can put there it is right there. How long is that?
49 seconds.
Okay, play this as well, because I'm going to give you some counterbalance here. So Michaela, full disclosure, good friend, sweet girl. We've interviewed Dr. Jordan Peterson multiple times. They had a conversation on this topic as well. So all my red pill friends out there, let's you get your thoughts on this. See
both
if you can
men
play
and
this.
Women are made in the image of God, right? There's an absolute insistence in that. And then, you know, the feminist critics will say, well, yeah, but Eve is cast in a bad light. It's like, yeah, so is Adam.
Yeah.
Eve takes the first bite, but Adam submits to her temptation in a second, and then he blames her for his faults, which men do to women all the time, and vice versa. I mean, we're pretty good at that both ways. So, no, there's no submitting. Plus, it's impossible anyways. You try to get a woman to submit, like, good luck. It's just not possible.
Not for very long.
They're slippery.
They're slippery. See if you can play the beginning of the clip as well, because I think we missed that.
I think there's a lot of talk in the red pill sphere that's very popular online that's if you're a man and you're in a relationship with a woman, they should listen to you because you're the man. And it's basically as simple as that.
Well, first of all, right when the biblical corpus
okay.
opened.
So that was the beginning of it. So we heard the woman, Emily Saves America. By the way, shout out to Emily. She's going to get her on the show soon. She's basically saying, listen, ladies, listen to your man or you're going to be single. Basically, that was her premise. You have Dr. Jordan Peterson sitting with his daughter, Michaela, and he's like, yeah, these women are going to listen. So it's an interesting conversation here. But I want to get Clarissa's thought on this because she's the only married one here with kids. How does it work, the listening, who leads? I'm pretty sure your relationship, Leo's a very simple dude. Get to work, make the money, come home, eat your dinner, go back to work, make the money, eat your dinner. You're doing everything else with the kids.
Yes.
How does it work? Who's the leader in the relationship? Listen, not listen. How does a healthy balance work in a relationship?
For us, it's more of a partnership. There's no like, you could say Leo's the leader. Like he's our head of our family and he leads. And I influence in decisions, but he ultimately has the final say. So he takes my opinion and my thoughts and how I feel on certain issues into consideration heavily. And then he also knows when to let me lead. So I know what his strengths are. I know where he excels in certain areas. And I am clear to say, hey, baby, you got this. You lead. I stand behind you fully. And I know that this is your area of expertise. But then there are others where he's like, I have no freaking clue about any of this. Like, this is out of my realm entirely. Like, you're the boss. Whatever you says goes. And it really just depends on the nature of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that there isn't a leader, and we kind of take team always. Leo's our clear leader. But for us, it really, the dynamic kind of shifts. It's kind of a dance. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of give and take. And there's certain areas in which I'm a clear leader. Like, hey, this is kind of my wheelhouse. Like, step back, get out of my kitchen, my house, my household. Like, I run this ship, right? Mm-hmm. But there's others in which I'm like, hey, this is your domain. Like, whatever you say goes, and I, you know, tell me where you need me, and that's where I'll go. Mm-hmm. But it really depends. There's no just like standard rule that applies. But for us, it was important to kind of establish those boundaries and kind of get to know what's good, what's bad, what am I comfortable with, what are you comfortable with, and really define those roles, I think. And it's, I mean, it's not like a you find out instantly. It's something that takes time, and having those conversations with one another on like
interesting perspective, because you know, you start off by saying Leo's the leader, but then depending on the situation, so almost situationally it's like, all right, you got this thing, girl. Like, overall, so I think there's a delicate dance there, right there, but
it's a bit more nuanced than people make it out to be. Like people are like, it's either exactly equal partnership, or the man needs to be the one in control, and the woman must submit, and she can never even have an idea. And I feel like that's where this the propagation of this idea that like red pill guys should never care what their woman said, they don't want to date an intelligent girl, they just want to go for McDonald's, because nowadays women are so masculine that they are trying to take that role from the man, and they emasculate them in a lot of ways. So a lot of guys, their natural proclivity, the pendulum swing back from that is like, oh, I'll just take a dumb girl who listen to what I say then. I think in reality, what you're talking about, this more nuanced kind of balance, that makes so much more sense. That's so much more logical. We just, as humans, have the tendency to really push things to the extreme, right? Like it's one or the other. I think in reality, it's much more nuance with the guy mostly taking the lead.
Yeah. Sarah, where do you stand on this topic? I mean, by the way, your boyfriend's in the room. Yeah. So.
I mean, I was raised with three older brothers and a dad, Moroccan Jewish men. So we always, you know, the men lead and we serve as women. Even till this day, like, I'm all about women. I host women's dinners. Like, I love my women, right? And I support my women and their decisions and choices and all that good stuff. But I love a man who can lead. I think it's super important in a household, just like the women lead in different ways, right? So like, my father was the leader in his mind, right? Mm-hmm. But my mother was the leader. There was no question, if, ands, or buts about it. You men need us to be who you are. So behind every strong man, there's an even stronger woman, and that's for sure 100% that. Like, we set the table for you, and we'll feed you, and we'll serve you, right? But to make you feel like the leader, to make you feel like a king, and, you know, let there be no, like, discrepancy, like, just to make your woman feel like the queen.
So what did you see growing up was mom's role? What was she in control of? And then what was dad
in control of? I mean, my mom worked, made money. My father worked and made money, and they hustled together and they grew together from nothing, right? From the slums of France, came here and grew together and built an empire together, right? But she still was in her feminine. She cooked for us. She made sure we had everything we needed. She took us to school. She did all that good stuff. No, let me go back. We had a nanny, and she was very clear with my father. She was like, you know, you want me to have four kids? Great. Let's pay for the nanny. Let's pay for a cleaning lady. Let's pay for that. Mm. And you know what? And I'm all about that. I'm all about that because I'm a woman who works. I work really, really hard. But I want a man who can absolutely lead and let me be in my feminine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Adam and I, we argue all the time about I'm always cleaning. I'm a little too OCD. But now, no. Like, we get a cleaning lady once a week because that's what I want. So we're going to pay for the fucking cleaning lady. And then
listen, with due respect to your boyfriend, Adam, over here. Sounds like a great guy. Great name, by the way. Anytime you want to clean, my door's open. Come on by.
I'm better than any cleaning lady ever.
Shit.
So, like, I pay for it, but nobody does it like I do it You know?
Liv, where do you stand on this topic? You're a CEO, but you're also feminine. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you balance this?
No, I love
it. Does it come down to the money?
I mean, okay, listen. So I actually love everyone's so far perspective on this. It makes sense. I think that there's strengths that you play to in partnerships, and I'm not in a marriage. So while you guys were all speaking, I thought about my 14-year partnership with Michael on Model Volleyball. So I have a male business partner for 14 years. And there are so many things that he is better at than I am and vice versa. And I think that that's what you play into is like, okay, like how do I know when I have to be the one to deal with this and when I send you? And and I think that naturally when women are single longer, you just find yourself being more independent and you make your own decisions. And I think that you choose to do things the way you want them because you're the only person that really has to make these decisions.
Yeah.
So it's for yourself. So when you say, is it about the money? Is it about this? It's about what individually I think a woman values as like her other half. That's going to be whether it's a business partner, a significant other, a father, whatever it might be. So I think everyone just should look for those things that balance their side of things. Like you meet couples and you're like, I don't get it. And then you see them interact and you're like, oh, I get it. You know, because you're like, wow, like that person really, you know, they were both very outspoken and they were both really this. And you'd see a lot of this.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's circumstantial to how it balances out as a household or as a business partner. Just depending on what's good for you guys.
All right. Nat, final word here.
Final word. I mean, the first thing I think important is, you know, picking the right man to lead you.
Yes.
I think that is the primary thing. I think if women even knew how to pick the right man to lead, that submissive level would even be a little bit easier.
Right.
You know, but that really does even comes down to like also the relationships in your life. You know, what? How was your parents' dynamic, right? When you're at working, how do you see couples' dynamic work? You know, and now that I was thinking about it, I'm like, I'm even thinking about even working with you. You know, like you, there's some times where he's like, really?
I'm so scared
of him. No, but now that I'm thinking, and someone said this to me because one time we were arguing and someone said to me, they're like, you know, you have like a relationship with Adam. You have to let him lead in certain areas and then you have to do things in certain areas. And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, it's kind of true. You know, you'll delegate me something to do and I have to get it done. Right. But then you'll take on things that I don't want to take on. I'm like, you're the head. You make that decision. I don't want to even have that decision. So even learning certain relationship dynamics as you grow up and you take examples, you know, you even learn how to like, okay, I'm going to be submissive even though. I don't. I want to be combative because we know I like.
No, but it's nice when you're like, can you just deal with it?
Yes. And so, you know, there's points to it, but it's always very important to have leading men in your life.
I agree.
So, you know, that, I think that's the important key of it.
I agree.
I'll get the final word here. As someone that's dealt with
combative women.
Combative, disagreeable women.
We're a great team. We've learned, like, over the time, we've learned how to also communicate. I've also been less combative, would you say?
You've been better.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the thing is, like, also that learning process that I think women sometimes overlook. Like, oh, I don't need it. But it's like, you kind of
And listening, too. I feel like for women, it's very hard for us to listen because we are, you know, we feel like we know.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And
So let me give some advice to the men and the women out there. When I was briefly married.
Oh, you were married? I was going to say, how long have you been married?
When I was briefly dating a girl that I may or may not have married, there was a situation, whatever. We won't go there. But I remember.
I remember, too.
Yeah, you remember that. This girl that I was married to for a little bit. I did not understand the dynamics. It was 10 years ago. I'm just like, you know. I made some money. I'm pretty cool. She's hot. She's broke. Let's do this thing. Boom. Boom. You know, moving this girl. Right. And I remember the nagging. Guys cannot handle the nagging. This is what we hear. Like it's freaking Dino from the Flintstones. Why did you? And I said, and I started to make some major money at this point in my life. I go, how much for you
to get the
to shut the fuck up? She said, what'd you say? I go, yeah, how much I gotta give you right now for you to shut the fuck up? She goes, $2,000. I literally went on my app. I was like, you have $2,000 in your phone right now. Here's what I need you to do. Ready? Shut the fuck up.
Ask me that question.
Okay, exactly.
Ask me that question. Ask me that question. I have your number.
Do you know how long she
has? $1 million.
See, you guys, wait, let me talk. Look at these girls.
No, it's like what she's doing.
I know. But do you know how long this girl fucked up for?
Not a second.
1 hour.
Oh, she did.
1 hour. I mean, I meant just like, don't talk until I tell you to talk. But what I realize is that's not how relationships work.
No.
And when we broke up, I read a book, and I highly encourage you guys to read this book if you're dealing with relationship issues. By the way, I read the first chapter. I'm like, I got it. I don't need to know anything else. And the book is called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. We are on completely different planets. Men are more logical. Women are emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, feelings and emotions are everything to a woman. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, guys, you need to understand that. So sometimes, like a girl that I'm dating now, she's just like, I just need to talk. I want to talk. And guys, if we talk, the overall premise is, we're going to talk to solve a problem.
Yeah.
I'm never like, so tell me how your day was, Malik. And he's like, well, that hard day. It doesn't work that way. I was like, so what's the problem, Malik? He's like, yeah, dude,
that was,
you know.
Really why I was girl, the problem. Night.
I was like, yo, just take her here. All right, cool, girl, thing.
Funny.
Bro, we're done.
Yeah.
But the girls don't want their problems to be solved. They just want you to
listen.
Listen.
That's so funny.
And guys don't got time to listen. And when I'm sitting there listening to this girl, I'm like, it's like Chris Rock used to do a thing. And I'm he used dead. To say, like, when a girl comes home, she's going to want to complain about her day and her coworkers. And he had like a five phrase thing. It was, uh-huh, okay, you don't say. And then every girl has a girl that they argue with at work. And then one day you go, I told you that bitch crazy. Thank you. Like, guys, it's so hard. But the problem is we love you beautiful, gorgeous girls. And we, you know. Can't live
so
with you.
So what should we do? As
can't live with you.
But they
can't
tell me, no, we you tell you those do. Things so you can maybe lead us.
Yeah.
We're sharing this
that's
with
true.
You. We're like, you make level-headed decisions. Yeah. You're a reliable
true.
Person.
Well, what I'm
going to
is,
ask you and decompress.
What I'm saying is,
should we suck
in the,
our feelings?
In the space travel of life, the men are on Mars, the women are on Venus. You're trying to ask me, hey, why aren't the Martians getting along with the other Martians? We're living on different planets, you know. You guys can have the babies. We can have the babies. We need each other. So it's all about the number one thing I always hear from old couples when I interview them is it's all about communication. And the women want to talk, and the men don't want to listen, but we all got to do what we got to do. And the last thing I told you, one of my favorite, shout out to the Red Pill guys, because, you know, unless you're really doing your thing, it's hard to really get these women in line. What's my favorite thing? It's like, if you submit, I'll commit. But even when they submit, they're still emotional beings and they're creatures mm-hmm. of feelings, and you gotta know that as a man. That's all I'm saying. So happy International Women's Day to all you women
thank
from
you.
Venus. We love you. Just don't talk so much. You know.
And learn to listen.
And learn to listen,
yay!
Guys. Learn to listen, guys. Anyway, we are now at the happy ending of the show.
Yay.
The happy ending is where we, you know, try to uplift everyone out there. But we've done a lot of female content today. So I want to give a little bone to the homies out there. I'm going to throw you a bone out there.
Oh.
Because you guys are winning too, despite what you hear. What you got, Malik? Yeah, we're wrapping up right now. This is the happy ending. So there was a study out there. Can we pull this up? For the men out there? So the study now officially finds, this is official, guys, drum roll, that men are officially better with directions than women.
I hope so.
Okay? It's going to surprise you a
if
little bit.
You're leading, you better be able to
yeah, exactly. Just letting you know so,
yeah.
that men officially know where the hell they're going. So let the man lead, but if he gets lost, feel free to start chirping and do all that. So
just put it in the GPS.
Just put it in the GPS.
Thank you, right Olivia.
Anyway, guys, this has been an awesome
Liv
episode.
Liv is just that's who you are. Yeah.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yes.
Let's go around the horn here. Give your final thoughts.
Toot-toot.
Clarissa, there's your camera right there. Where can the people find you? What do they need to know? Where can they connect with your husband, Leo, the leader in the relationship?
Leo at Valuetainment. Clarissa Martinez, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. What else?
That's it.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Oh, I'm also on Manect.
Oh.
I'm on Manect.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I
gotta
get on Manect.
Yeah, you should. Manect.
Why aren't you on Manect? I can hook you up. Oh. Amy, there's your camera right there. You know you're an expert at this point. Amazing
What's
content
up, guys?
Creator.
Amy Dangerfield on every platform, especially YouTube.
Okay. Sarah Kiba, camera right there. Where can people find you?
On Instagram at Soa Kiba, and yeah, pretty much everything's there.
Soa Kiba,
Soa
Kiba.
Soa Kiba.
Listen, guys, you know, I get a lot of heat, a lot of controversy. As someone that was her teacher. Look what I created here, guys.
Very good.
It's awesome. I'm proud of you, Sarah. You're killing it.
Yeah.
Olivia Ormos, my good friend. Yes. OO and Co. Look in the camera. Tell the people where to find you and where to, where to check out Model Volleyball.
Yeah, my personal is Olivia Ormos. I'm also on Manect with you, thanks to you. And then Model Volleyball. We are Model Volleyball on everywhere, and I hope all of you guys come out and enjoy this free and amazing, beautiful event, March 30th and 31st.
There we go. Nat, go ahead, and then I'll wrap it up.
Yes. Well, Natalia Del Valle on all platforms, just Instagram. I do have a YouTube channel. You can subscribe to that if you find it. But aside from that, thank you guys for tuning in today. Happy International Women's Day. We wouldn't even be here if we didn't have beautiful women in the world.
Yep.
So, you know, thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe to all channels, including Saucecast, your favorite channel, too. But aside from that, thank you, Sauce, for the conversation. I think it was great
to have a man do this conversation.
Station.
I love the ladies. Happy International Women's Day. What did Tupac say? You know, we get a dear mama. We all came from a woman, got a name from a woman.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to blame all the women? If Tupac loves the ladies,
yes.
You know.
That's right.
And got a quick shout out. Malika's over there. You can't see him today, but he's holding it down. He's crushing it. He'll be back next Thursday. By the way, guys, if you're like, why was all these women? When are we done? What's up with the men?
We love you.
Well, stay tuned, because next Thursday, we got a man coming on.
Oh, yeah.
And this dude's a stud. This dude's a badass dude. If you're a UFC fan, stay tuned. Next Thursday, we have the one, the only, Colby Covington coming on the Sawzcast. It'll be me, Colby, and some of the ladies in the house. So stay tuned. Next Thursday, Colby Covington here on the Sawzcast. Listen, gentlemen, go give your mother a kiss. Go give your wife a kiss. Wish her a happy International Women's Day. Give your wife a kiss. Give your girlfriend a kiss. Well, you know, if you have a wife and a girlfriend, don't do it at the same time. It's all, you know.
Anyway, give your mother a kiss.
We love you guys out there. We'll see you next Thursday here on the Sawzcast. Save that money. We're out.
It's the Sawzcast, baby.